are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
So we're still speaking about eating disorders, and now we're focusing on social media and its impact on body image. So when you think about filtered photos, unrealistic beauty standards, diet culture hashtags, social media can be both a mirror and a megaphone for body dissatisfaction. So today we're examining how platforms like Instagram, TikTok, Facebook influence the way that people perceive themselves and their bodies, particularly among teens and young adults. We're also going to look at emerging trends like body checking and thinspiration and how they fuel disordered thinking. All right, so we are joined on the line by Yolanda Lindeke once again. Yolanda, good morning. Welcome once again to the program.
Good morning, Bongi. Always happy and wonderful to be with you guys.
All right. I knew that this was going to come up at some point, and I was even saying to the listeners that you guys are really going to think I just hate social media, but I can't avoid social media in this conversation, right?
No, definitely. It's definitely one of the questions and one of the things that we have to talk about, because it is one of the triggers that are really difficult when it comes to eating disorders.
Yeah. So how does constant exposure to curated images affect self-esteem and body, especially in 2025, where I think most of us know that, you know, filters galore, we know, but still somehow still get influenced in one way or another?
Yep. Well, we live in a world where we're constantly exposed to images that are filtered, edited, and staged to look perfect.
Yeah.
And over time, this can distort our sense of what is normal or healthy. And I thought about this analogy yesterday, where it's kind of your For You page. Now, you are creating it to kind of say, hey, so there is a needle in a haystack, because these perfect lives or these people with these filters or whatever, it's not real, number one. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like you are now being exposed to this needle in a haystack. But now you tell your algorithm or you tell your For You page that, oh, I like this needle. So what does it go do? It goes finds more needles.
Yeah.
All the needles. So now instead of you having a more realistic, proportionate view of the world to kind of say, hey, but this is actually one in a million. This is actually the exception, not the rule. Then what your For You page does, it creates a room or a space where there's just the needles, where it's just the extreme outside of the norm. And we start to normalize that when we think, oh yeah, that is what's healthy. That is what's normal. So people, especially young users, start compromising themselves and comparing themselves to these unrealistic standards, and that can really chip away at your self-esteem, especially with the younger children or younger teens, and so that is still developing. Last month we were talking about personality disorders, when they're still developing that personality, when they're still developing how do I fit into this world, and I'm already providing this chisel that's going to chip away at that self-esteem. And it creates this silent pressure to look a certain way, which can trigger anxiety, disordered eating, or even depression in some cases.
It's incredible. And the way that the algorithm works, it really, you just look at one thing, one video, one image, one reel, and then it's feeding you more and more of the same thing. And in the end, you just end up in this echo chamber, whether it's surrounded by people who agree with you on a particular subject, so you never hear a different perspective, or it's just like you're saying, just these images. In the case of body image, it's the same kind of bodies, the same kind of face, and you start thinking everybody looks alike, and there must be something wrong with me because I don't look like that. And yet in real life, when you get off the phone and look around, you see that we're all so different, and it's okay.
Definitely. It is okay to be who you are. You're made the way that you are, and you're made that way very specifically, very intentionally. And we are formed by our cultures, our families, our environments, our value systems. And then we kind of compare ourselves to these external factors, and it really does do a lot of harm. I think we had that conversation earlier where we like this overconsumption. We're not meant to consume so much information that's constantly in contrast with positivity and our growth. And I like what you just said, you know, we create these echo chambers. And in that regard, it just, that now becomes the reality. That exactly. now becomes the truth.
Yeah. And but my question then is, since we know that this is what happens, how does it still affect us? Because I'm asking this because we're all taught from a young age, you are worthy, we're all beautiful, we're all different, and our differences are what make us unique and beautiful. Is it that we don't believe it, or what is it that makes this, you know, the social media images become so prevalent in our minds, and yet on some level we must know that it's okay to be different? What is it, why do we still fall for it?
I think it comes down to comparisons. And I think we have to take into consideration that we comparing ourselves started out as survival. You know, when as human beings, to fit in society, to fit into culture, you can't be someone that does not embody the same values, the same norms. Mm. If we have to think even further back in terms of survival, many, many years ago, you know, we compared ourselves to people who, oh, this person is a great gatherer. It's learning opportunities. It's okay. where you see, oh, this person gathered a lot of fruits. So what are they doing that I can learn from? Right. So there is a sense of that comparison is survival. You know, we have mirror neurons in our brain, and this is also how children learn. We mirror behavior of others, mm-hmm. and we learn from that. But I think with the overconsumption of things, and we're trying to constantly compare and be better than, it's just gotten way out of hand. And I don't think there's always a counterbalance. There's also just the comparison of how you're not living up to the standard. But there's very little in terms of in our everyday world. Right. How are we actually great and beautiful and perfect just the way that we've been created?
Yeah,
and I think that creates that imbalance. So we just kind of chase this, oh, but I have to look like this, I have to wear this, I have to be so successful, I have to do this, because we think it's the norm. Remember, you're on this echo, you're being shown all the needles and not the... And not the haystack, you know, you're not showing that, but this is the smallest percentage.
Yeah.
Our brains are telling us that, oh no, because everyone on TikTok looks like this, and because all the information I get looks like this, it must be the truth.
Yeah.
And it's not. It's perfectly curated algorithms that are sent your way for very specific reasons.
Mm.
And we eat it up like hotcakes, unfortunately.
It's so funny you say that, because I remember not too long ago, I was watching some debate, a political debate on YouTube, the American politics. And so we had the liberals on the one side and the conservatives on the other. And so at the end of this debate, depending on who you were, if you just saw the reviews, people talking about the debates, the people on the conservative side are like, yeah, we owned them, we won this thing. And then on the liberal side, they're saying the same thing. So it's like...
Exactly.
Depending on which side you want to be on, either way, these guys think that their points were the best. The others think their points were the best. Everybody's a winner, so I guess everybody's happy.
In that regard. But yeah, I mean, it really is. The more you engage with certain information, the more you're going to get that back. And unfortunately, I fell in that trap. I am as guilty as the next person. I fell into that trap where, you know, you sit and you look at a video for just a little bit too long, and that echo chamber comes through. And after a while, I started to question myself. I do mental health and these talks, and I warn people about this on the daily. It's my job. And I still fell victim for it. And I could feel myself just being so upset and so angry. Now, taking that into the context of an eating disorder, here's this young person trying to still build their self-esteem, coming from this place, and they're stuck in this loop of people telling them, you're only good and worthy if you're a specific size, if you look a specific way. And it's so damaging.
Mm.
And I would like to believe that I'm someone, you know, that has the resilience to some degree to, and the mental maturity to fight off some of these things.
Yeah.
And like I said, I fell victim to it. So
you can imagine
it can happen to anyone.
A younger person or someone who's already, you know, prone to those kinds of disorders and insecurities. Let's talk a little bit more about comparison culture, how it drives harmful behaviors.
Okay, so comparison culture is the habit of measuring your worth against someone else, often through what you see on social media or what they put out there. Please just note that what people put out there is not real reflection of life.
Mm-hmm.
No one, and I mean no one, is going to wake up today feeling absolutely horrid with the flu, with acne breakout, unwashed hair, unbrushed teeth, and go, this is a perfect opportunity for me to take a picture and post it on the internet. No one does that.
Yeah.
So what you see is very curated, very manicured, very planned out, people showing their best sides. That picture probably has been taken 50 times before they have the one that they chose to put on there. So the our problem with this is comparing our real lives with someone else's highlight reel. We're comparing our very real being to this very curated thing, and it's just not feasible. Mm. This is often leads to feelings of inadequacy, the belief that we're failing or we're falling behind. And in extreme cases, it drives people to unhealthy diets, excessive exercise, or even cosmetic procedures, all in pursuit of this ideal that might not even be real.
Yeah.
I always tell people, you know what? Even Kim Kardashian doesn't look like Kim Kardashian when she wakes up, you know?
Yeah.
So keep that in mind. You're comparing your most vulnerable self to someone else's most happy, most wonderful, most curated image. Mm. You're not comparing apples to apples, and it's so unfair towards yourself.
Yeah. And then let's speak about influencers, celebrities. How do they both help and harm mental health, especially around food and appearance?
Okay, so influencers and celebrities have massive platforms,
mm-hmm.
and their messaging matters. And we sometimes sweep it under the rug. But I take Kate Moss, for example. She had an interview in 2009, I think, where she was interviewed and by a women's magazine, and they asked her, so what is a mantra that you live by in terms of how to keep your figure, how to already problematic questioning, but okay,
yeah.
How you keep your figure, what do you do to stay your model self? And she had the saying where she said, nothing tastes as good as skinny feels.
Wow.
And it was hyped. She wasn't the one that came up with it. It existed in Pro Anna blogs for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
But it became so controversial. And even to this day, people who recite that as gospel, you know, hold it up to this very high standard. And when you see people, and sometimes people are in real trouble and they're so proud of it. Like I've met people, you know, on their recovery journey. And in the beginning, you know, you're so proud of it when you say that you're hurting yourself. And say, so, yeah, but nothing tastes as good as skinny feels.
Wow.
And they're so proud of that, not realizing how they're actually hurting themselves. And I think celebrities that make and influencers that say these things, they don't know where it falls, who's listening to it, who's consuming it, how they're consuming it. So when they promote unattainable beauty standards or unhealthy trends, they do real damage, especially to the young audience.
Yeah.
But on the flip side, many influencers are now using their platforms to promote body positivity,
mm-hmm.
mental health awareness, and more realistic representation of real life.
Yeah.
So the impact can go both ways, and it depends on how responsibly they're using their influence.
Mm.
But we as the consumers of that influence also have to be aware and kind of say, you know what, I don't want to listen to this. I don't want my echo chamber to be filled with this information. Let me scroll on by. Let me not engage.
Yeah.
And that's our responsibility. And it's hard.
Yeah, it is. And would you say that it what makes it hard is that we are feeding, or we tend to feed what is already kind of embedded in us? So it really has to be intentional on our part as the consumers to say, I know that this is what I'm drawn to, but I don't want that to be my, I don't want that to be my quote unquote reality.
Definitely. And I think to a bigger extent, we might not even know ourselves what are these unconscious beliefs that we hold about ourselves.
Right.
So, and very often we are not even aware of it, but, and it's been shown in marketing and algorithms, they somehow get to identify this, and we forget that these algorithms are specifically designed to keep us engaged.
Mm.
So you click on a fitness video, it talks to something inside you, you go, oh yeah, this is great, I would like to consume this information. And without your consent or without being aware of that, that algorithm clocks it and says, aha, this is a weak spot of yours. This is something, let me push this. Let me push this information. And then the algorithm sees what you engage with. And the more you engage with these unhealthy things, the more unhealthy things it sends you. And then it has this mirror effect, because now you're kind of like, but wait a minute, because I'm seeing this, and these people keep on telling me this about myself, it must be true.
Mm.
I must be missing. And then it plants like a belief system in you, and it magnifies that small percentage that was already there. And now it becomes this really big percentage.
Snowball,
and you start to believe like snowballs. And now this is the truth. This is my reality. And I keep on hearing it. Therefore, it must be true.
Sure.
And it's so out of context.
Man. And are there any ways to create a more positive body culture online? What can users do? What role do we play?
No, absolutely. It starts with being mindful of what we follow, number one,
mm-hmm.
and what we engage with. So as you said, like, instead of just mindlessly scrolling and thinking that what I consume, that what I do has no effect, no, it really does. There's this saying that says, show me who your friends are and I'll show you who you are.
Right.
And I think today's day and age, it's, I want to change that. It's like, show me what you watch online and I'll tell you who you are, you know, because we are no longer consuming information from our friends and our loved ones and our communities. They're consuming information from strangers that do not care how this information affects us.
Yep.
They do not care. I mean, there are so many platforms out there that would say something. It's a term called rage bait.
Yes.
That will say something controversial, will say something hurtful, because they know if I say something racist, or I say something sexist, or I say something against your religion or your culture, you're going to get angry and you're going to engage with me. And that's all I want.
Yeah.
I don't care about the content. I care about how many clicks I get, how many views I get. So they purposefully put harmful things out there. And we can create our feeds to include diverse bodies, real stories, and content that uplifts us rather than compares. So users can also speak up, calling out toxic trends, supporting positive messaging, and sharing their own unfiltered experiences.
Mm.
It's a small step, definitely, but collectively we can shift that online culture to more accepting and mental healthy one.
For sure.
But also just keep in mind that the people that are engaging with you and the content that you consume, they do not necessarily have the best intentions for you. So be careful. Don't get caught up in that echo chamber and really start balancing it out in terms of, where am I getting more positive feedback? What do my friends think? What does my family think? Because it's so easy to get caught up.
Mm, for sure, for sure. And like you're saying, a click is a click, a view is a view. That's all they're after. A comment is a comment, whether it's positive or negative. At the end of the day, there we go. I've got my 600, my 1,000 comments on my post. That's all I wanted. Doesn't really matter if they're positive or negative. And if we would be, and the funny thing is that rage bait type of content is, it travels so much faster. It's so, it goes viral much easier and faster than good news and positive imagery and things like that, right?
Exactly. It's sad. It's for me really sad to just know that there are people out there that are just so consumed about, oh, the clicks, the likes, the views, that they really don't care how much harm they're doing
Yeah.
in their communities and societies.
Man. All right. Well, thank you so much, Yolanda, for coming through. Have we left anything out that you'd like to cover on this subject?
No, I think today we had a good conversation. I just want to remind everyone today, remember, food is fuel. If you haven't eaten today, make sure to nourish your body. Your body needs food.
Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you so much, Yolanda. Let's chat again soon.
Thank you, Bongi. Bye-bye.
All right.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.